to the left circle.
He scores!
Oh, and he scores!
He scores!
Kerr took his time, picked his spot, and snapped it inside the far post.
The Bruins are back in the playoffs right here. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Talking about the game is no game.
Stop. You're making me laugh so hard. What you're doing is so funny.
Dutcher and Rich.
You're on a roll. I am busting a gut. Ah.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm the big scary man guy. Put a couple biscuits in the basket. They went top shelf where mama keeps the peanut butter and where I hide the pornos.
Here we go. It's too good time. It's too good time. It's too good time. It's too good time.
I'm gonna be so hungover at work tomorrow, I'm not gonna do anything.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Dutcher and Rich. Billy Jaffe is a studio analyst for the Boston Bruins. He works for Nesson, who has the first round games, I believe. You can also listen to Murray here on the radio at 98.5 Sports Hub.
So we have just a small amount of time in which Jack Edwards can get ready for his end of the Nesson season soliloquy.
What I look forward to every year.
Yeah, it's great. Mm-hmm. It's really awesome. Billy Jaffe, hello, sir.
Hello, young man. How are you?
I am doing quite well. All right, so are you concerned at all? What do you make of the Bruins' struggles the last five games of the season?
Concern? I don't know. We were talking post game the other night. Questions? Yeah, I don't know about concern. I mean, you know, you got to you know this, Freddie. Every year in the NHL playoffs, there's usually not one, there's sometimes two or three what you would call brutally tough, and or if you want to call them upset first round series. I mean, it's just the way it happens. Would I be concerned about the team? No, I'm concerned if they don't get guys back. You know, that would be honest. I'd be concerned if they don't get Riley Nash back, Sean Corrali back. It'd be nice to have Rick Nash back. But especially those centermen, they need those guys down the middle to really solidify their lines. Now, assuming that they are, and the other, you know, all of them have been, or the two guys, Rick and Sean, have been skating for almost a week now, and Riley just started skating, so you take that as good news. If they get him back, I mean, I like their lineup. I like their team defense when it's on. I love their team defense when it's on. But, yeah, of course you have questions, Fred. I mean, given the way that the last five, six, seven games ended, of course you got questions.
What did you think of Tuca and the way he ended the season? Because, I mean, here we go again. It's like he can't get out of his own way as far as criticism is concerned, because everyone, even though the numbers seem to say otherwise, there's a big impression that Tuukka Rask in the playoffs, you know, doesn't step up to the moment, even though, as I said, there's been many, you know, you could look at numbers and that's not quite the case. But
exactly.
Still, you have this situation where he's skidding into the playoffs and playing mediocre hockey.
Well, he played a mediocre game against Tampa, but the problem is
and against Florida.
Well, I thought he was okay against Florida. I don't pin any one goal on him. You know, the third goal, some people, you know, didn't like. We have it in super slow-mo. The game of hockey is very easy in super slow-mo when he's coming across. And it went through him. And, yeah, he'd like to make that save, no doubt about it. But to say that he had a bad game, Rich, I would disagree with you. I would say that he had a great second-to-last game. He played okay to well. The whole, he was emblematic of the team. Now, you say, well, we'd love him to steal a game. Well, he did steal many games this year. He did. And so did Anton. You know, they were spectacular for a lot. But to get back to your original question. There are questions, Rick. I'm not going to say this is it. No, I have no issue, no question whatsoever. He's going to have to either match or outperform Freddie Anderson of the Toronto Maple Leafs if the Bruins are going to win this series. He's just going to have to. He's not going to be able to be pretty good. He's going to have to be very good to great. Mentally, I think if he just gets out there and plays like he did the middle part of the season, I think that he's going to be fine. I think, you know, there's no player on this team. You guys know it. There's no player on this team that takes more heat than a guy like Tuukka Rask does from the media.
All right. Having said that, which team, Boston and Toronto, has the better offense?
I would say if you look at the stats, you would say Toronto. But if the Bruins are healthy, I would match Boston's with them. Statistically, Wallach, I would match him with them. I think the team speed, the frontline team speed of Toronto is faster than the Bruins, but the Bruins aren't slow. But again, I think that if the Bruins have everybody healthy and they're clicking, meaning they're back into their regular lineup, I think that they can match the offense. The skill throughout the lineup, Wallach, of Toronto is probably higher than the Bruins. It's going to have to be the will of the Bruins in certain places, like we've seen, that will help eliminate some of that skill.
All right, if you're Rick Nash and you've been sitting out for this long, how difficult is it and how long does it take to get used to being in a game situation?
Great question, Fred. We got to find it. Can't be long. Start the interview. I have questions. Is that a concern? I mean, it's a question. How quickly can he come back? I don't see this being a brutally physical series. That doesn't mean it won't have contact. I don't see this being a killer series. So Rick Nash, you know, he's a big man, and he likes to play on the inside. I think he can have some good success if he goes right there against some of this Toronto defense that, you know, they had two guys in the back end, Fred, that could move the puck and can skate, and they had over 50 points, Morgan Riley and Jake Gardner. But you have to make them defend. And I know it sounds like cliche, right? But make them, your best defense is going to be a good offense. If you make these guys defend, and Rick Nash could have a big impact on that, Fred, from behind the net to the front of the net, I think that he can get involved quickly. But he can't play perimeter. If he plays perimeter, it's going to be too easy for Toronto.
Is there, I seem to recall a belief in New York that he kind of faded in the playoffs. Have you heard that?
There's been comments made of that, and that's when he was considered the go-to guy there, and that they didn't think that he participated enough, that he succeeded enough in doing some things. Now, his team went to the Stanley Cup final once. They went to the Eastern final, I believe, once too. He only has 15 career playoff goals. He's in, I think, 77 career games. He's got about 40, don't get mad at me if I'm wrong, I'm going to say 45, 46 points over his career. He doesn't have to be the guy here. He just has to be one of the guys, and that to me is going to. I still say this, you know. Of course, I want both Nashes and Corrali back. 100%. I want them back. I need those centers back more than anything. I need that third line center spot with Riley Nash. That third line when Backes and Heinen were all together, that was a real, real comfortable line because they did so many things. And I need those guys back first, and then I need Rick Nash to come back and just be one of the guys. I don't have to expect him to be the guy out there, be the only one producing.
You know, what do you make, Billy, about the Pasternak, Marchand, Bergeron line being a minus 20 over the last 2 weeks?
That was shocking. And what do I make of it? I make of it is that, let me rephrase it. My hope is that these guys were just mentally tired, which leads to physical tiredness, which leads to a little bit of less detail-oriented, a little less battle. We saw spurts of their battle, Rich. We saw, you know, like third period. We saw them, their battle level was at that high that we're so used to.
Yeah.
I don't think you can keep it at that high 380. I know you can't 382. I know you just physically and mentally can't. That's what I'm going to make of it right now. And, of course, after game one, I reserve the right to say, uh-oh, if it's still not there. But right, I'm hoping that that's just they've carried so much in a good way. They've been there so much. I don't think he can do all 82.
Yeah, this is a weird series because I just think that nobody knows until you see him play on Thursday. Honestly, it's like whether or not these guys, these veterans have been saving their energy, trying not to get hurt, and then every once in a while realizing that maybe you have a chance like they did in that third period that you're talking about where there was that double minor and it was just a blitz on Reimer and then eventually Luongo. I think that that's more like who they truly are and, you know, why not conserve yourself for the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for that. I don't think it's an overt or an outright statement to myself or to yourself of, okay, I'm just going to save it for the playoffs. It's, wait a second. I want to get that puck. I've got that puck. Jeez, I don't have enough energy to do enough with that puck right now. And it just becomes this thing like, oh my, you know, come on, man, come on, body. Come on, legs. Let's get going. You know, we were talking about it, like I said, post game. I mean, Would 2 days off benefit some of these guys? Meaning they had all day yesterday off. Would it surprise me, fellas, if a few guys didn't skate today? Well, I mean, non-injured guys, I'm saying. maybe not, or at least go real short, get him off the ice again, just get the legs rested even more. I do think this Bruin team was, what was it, 21 games in the last 39?
Killer schedule.
And a lot of travel. It's not an excuse, it's reality. But their reality is maybe they need a little bit more rest.
Who's coming out of the West? Who you got in the Stanley Cup final?
Oh, boy. The West, I don't see it being Vegas. I mean, Nashville's a hard team to pick against, in my opinion, because they have the experience of last year. I'll go with Nashville. I'll say they make a repeat appearance out of the West. Be careful of that Winnipeg team, but I think they're 1 year away.
Oh, how much would it suck if it was Winnipeg? And then Bruins fans, if they wanted to travel, they could have gone to Nashville, possibly Vegas. Mm-hmm. But then instead, they'd probably go to Winnipeg, where it's probably still snowing.
Oh, yeah. They're in May, I'm telling you. Their flies are the size of helicopters.
Yeah, it's never nice there, is what I'm told.
That's actually the city's motto.
I could live my life without going to Winnipeg. I can tell you that.
They have fun there, though. Trust me, they have fun.
Really?
Okay.
Hey, people are beautifully nice. You know, they're nice.
Yeah, well, it's Canada.
Because that's why you travel to cities, because they have nice people.
Well, listen, you've grown up here too long. Billy Jaffe from Nesson, thanks so much for the time, sir.
Fellas, I look forward to this week. Talk to you soon.
All right, see you, man. It'll be fun.
We'll have the stack coming up, Rich. What will we talk about?
Oh, looks like there's a TV reporter fight. An ex-Bruin gets... this is great. An ex-Bruin gets in fight with a reporter himself. And on top of that, there is more disgusting fallout from the Masters and pictures to prove it.
Toucher.
Is this what you want?
And Rich.
Are you happy now?
Toucher and Rich.
Ah, sick.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack it up. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. I like that the NHL, out of deference to New Girl, is not playing tonight, if I use the right term. New Girl, the final season, which is an abbreviated season, tonight at 9:30 on Fox.
Oh, because it's usually a Wednesday night.
No, this is the final season, and I don't know how many. I think they're only doing like 8 episodes.
Oh.
So it's like a march towards... I don't know what the gang's going to do.
Do you think that you're the only person you know outside of your family who has watched every episode of New Girl?
Eric Mangan.
Okay, friend of yours. Okay.
Okay, right. So, I know one another person.
All right. I'm sure you've turned some people onto it via your talking about it on the show.
The gang is delightful.
Okay. That's the name of one of their episodes, isn't it?
The gang is delightful.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the name of it.
It's every episode is like that. Of course they're delightful. Well, I have some delightful news for Nicholas Gemelli in the other room. I just received a save the date for the Avengers Infinity War screening.
This is all going. This is all happening, and I got no idea what any of it is.
And I know they're tooling with me and every other nerd that can't wait to see it, because it said official invitation to follow soon, and then it says please click on the attachment. I click on the attachment, and it won't open. It's like a dead link. So they're teasing us. They are teasing us. But I do know that Mr. Gemelli is very excited. I am too. This is one I'm looking forward to. And is it me, or do you think that they probably went back and tried to cram even more Black Panther into this film? It was kind of like Justice League after Wonder Woman was such a big hit. It was like cram more of her into there. I lasted 20 minutes into Justice League until I realized this is a waste of my time. I guess in my as I get older, I'm like, I just don't have time to sit through a bad movie. Like if you don't have me within the first 30 minutes, I'm not going to give you the rest of it. And that may be a flaw. There might be a bunch of films, and I can think of a few that take a while to really kick off. Like if I was to watch The Deer Hunter now, I probably would have turned it off. Because the big dance scene at the beginning. No, The Godfather, I liked that part. I liked the whole whispering behind the scenes.
I liked the beginning. You liked the wedding?
Yep. Well, the wedding, there's all sorts of other things going on. You learned a little more about Sonny's character. There was the wheeling and dealings about how people were brought to Marlon Brando and promises were made. That's all happening while the wedding is going on. Whereas The Deer Hunter was just, let's have this gigantic hour-long party wedding thing until you finally got to the Russian roulette when they're all in the, up to their necks in water and had guns to their heads. Like, that's when it got good.
Or the last half of Stripes, if you want to go on the opposite end of the spectrum.
Well, if you want to go opposite end, let's go last half of Full Metal Jacket. First Half of Full Metal Jacket is excellent. That's the one with, you know, Sergeant Pyle and the guy going nuts, and Arlie Ermey is the general.
Apparently the guy that plays Pyle is, like, just awful.
Vincent D'Onofrio?
Yeah, it's just, like, terrible to work with.
He's been doing on that... What's that TV show he's been on? It's, like, not SVU. It's one of those.
One of those, but I don't think he's on it anymore. And he, I think, Law and Order. I think he's, like, legit insane.
Is he really?
Yeah, that he's impossible to work with.
Oh, he was so damn good in that movie. Wow. I mean,
what's that Netflix? The Flash, right? Is it the Flash on Netflix series? He was the bad guy.
No,
he was the bad guy
in Daredevil, I think.
Daredevil. I'm sorry. He was Kingpin in Daredevil. It was really good.
Him and Andrew McCarthy got in a fight almost on the set of NCIWCS or whatever the hell he was on.
Andrew McCarthy's on that show?
He did a guest run.
Okay.
And then got into it with that guy.
Oh, okay. Well, I've not seen that before, but all I know is that Avengers Infinity War, check your schedule soon. I just emailed him back. I was like, this isn't open.
There are like 45 superheroes in this, right?
It's everyone.
Yeah. They just threw everyone into one movie. Everyone got like four lines.
Which means it's that royal.
Now, that would be cool at the end.
Yeah, just get it. It's, you know, you put in all the big stars.
Well, they did that in Captain America Civil War. There was a battle royal. It was at the airport. It's probably the best scene out of all of the Avengers movies.
Okay.
For all the superhero movies that have come out in the past couple of years, that might be the best scene. So it just means more of that and more Black Panther, which right now is the third highest grossing film in U.S. history, which is amazing to me. And I hope it beats Avatar because that movie sucked. So, dude, who liked Avatar? I've talked to that before.
I didn't mind it that much.
There's a whole Avatar land. I could go out in the street and ask 10 people, have you seen Avatar? And let's say 8 of them say yes. I would say, name one character from Avatar. How amazing is that? Some of the highest grossing films of all time. You could name 10 characters from Star Wars. You can name probably 5 characters from Harry Potter. Even if you didn't see Harry Potter, you know their names.
Right.
Indiana Jones, all these huge films. You can't name one character from Avatar, and that's one of the highest grossing films of all time.
Well, first of all, I couldn't name more than one character from the Indiana Jones.
Yes, you could.
No.
Who's the bad guy who rips their hearts out?
I don't know.
Who's the Nazi who's got the little, the one whose face melts off in the first one?
I don't know.
You don't know their names?
No. And then Harry Potter, obviously, all I know is the headmaster dies in Harry Potter.
Dumbledore.
Yeah.
That's the name of the headmaster.
Mad-Eye Moody.
No, I don't know the name of anyone.
You know Ron Weasley or anybody like that? Like the main character?
Short Round, the kid?
Yeah, Short Round was the kid.
He was in the beginning of the second one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So I know that. Those are the two that I know, because he was in Goonies.
You don't know Tote?
I don't know Tote.
The bad guy from the first one?
Yep.
I don't.
Okay.
It's been a while.
You don't know his scrappy little son from the Crystal Skull that was played by the dude from Holes?
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf?
I know who Shia LaBeouf is.
Yes, he's the son. Is he really, though? He might not be.
That movie
awful.
So,
all the way down to the end of it.
They wound up in Area
51. Just awful, awful, awful movie.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, well, you know, well, I'd like to spoil that movie because it sucks so bad. Well, Mark Savard, who, of course, you know, we all know how things ended with the Bruins. He has spoken out against the Toronto Sun's Steve Simmons, who is a writer, for some comments that he made in a story that was published this past weekend. In his article, he wrote, Mark Savard basically disappeared when his career ended in Boston. Media called, nobody answered. Now suddenly Savard is a media guy. My advice, if he calls, don't answer. I'm not sure if this guy is aware of what happened to Mark Savard in Boston and why he was no longer playing and why he disappeared. But I would say it might have something to do with the horrible concussions that ruined his career. And seeing that, gosh, we read those stories. I think it was the Players Tribune where he wrote something about all the hours he had to spend in the dark and then the depression that he went through. So Mark Savard wrote back to this guy. He said, I spent many years dealing with some serious mental health issues and post-concussion symptoms. I did not withdraw myself from hockey or the hockey world by choice. I was not in a good place. I needed those years to heal. Thankfully, I was able to make a full recovery with the support I received from my family, friends, advisors, and medical professionals. Today, I feel happy, healthy, and very lucky. I am grateful for the opportunities I have been given lately to raise awareness for mental health issues and concussions, as well as give back to the game I love, the great game of hockey. So who is this guy? Honestly, who is this guy who writes in Toronto about hockey who has no idea why Mark Savard disappeared for all of those months? Not a very sharp gentleman. And by the way, I don't believe Scott on line one for one second. That's just some guy trying to peacock about how anti-culture he is.
All right. Scott, go ahead.
I could not be more serious. I'll move right on to hockey, believe me. That's why I really did want... I'm not kidding you. On my father's soul, I can't name one other character in Superman, can you?
You can't name a bad guy from Superman?
All right, let me think.
Hold on, let me get the hockey. I'm not kidding. I'm not joking.
All right, well, there's only one thing at a time. Lex Luthor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you name any of the bad guys from Superman 2?
Oh, I got the three guys?
Yes.
I
can only name one of them, actually.
Yeah, I know. Anyone can only name one of them.
And it's the constant reference. All right, this is like not knowing that.
Neil before.
Zod.
There you go. Zod.
That's right.
Can you not name his girlfriend?
Oh, yeah. Lois Lane.
Yeah, of course, Lois Lane.
And who's the sidekick who takes all the pictures?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You know this one.
I know I should.
I forget his last name, but I know his first
Olsen.
Name.
Olsen.
Yeah, Jimmy Olsen.
Oh, Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Jimmy Olsen, of course. And who's the guy who runs the paper? What's his name again?
Oh, God.
Played by J.K. Simmons. I'm actually having a brain fart on this
one,
too.
I don't know that one.
Or played by the dude who's in The Little Rascals in the originals. I forget.
I don't know.
Either way. But yeah, I mean, it proves my point. Even people who've never seen any of these movies, like, you know, Harry Potter and Star Wars and stuff like that, we've probably haven't seen Star Wars.
Are you talking about the guy who runs the paper in Spider-Man, J. Jonah Jameson?
Oh, you're right. I'm getting those two mixed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, we are cool. Car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll win a dozen Callaway Chrome Soft golf balls. The new Chrome Soft combines tour-proofing performance with unparalleled feel, distance, and spin control. Chrome Soft, the ball that changed the ball.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, in support of the Humboldt hockey community, the Bruins Foundation has launched two fundraising initiatives. The 50-50 raffle for Game 1 of the playoffs is open for online sales and is guaranteeing the winner will receive at least $25,000. Online tickets for the 50-50 raffle are available now at Bruins5050.org. In addition to that, there will also be a raffle for a suite to Game 2 of the playoffs. And those chances can be purchased at BruinsRaffle.org. Bob Sweeney is the executive director of the Bruins Foundation. He joins us now. Hello, Mr. Sweeney.
How are we doing, guys?
We were doing well. People now are aware about the bus accident and everything that happened there. How has this affected the hockey community as a whole?
Well, I think all of us, I mean, especially myself, I rode the bus in college, not as much as in my first year in the minors, but not as much as some of these kids do in Western Canada. And having kids, and I know you guys have kids yourself, when you get a little older and you put them on the bus, whether it's college or high school, the last thing you expect would be something of this tragedy that happened. So our hearts go out to the whole Humboldt community and, seeing all the posts last night. I know the hockey community is a tight-knit world, and guys, hockey players, girls, hockey players, they're leaving their sticks outside, turning the lights on, which is a great tribute in honor of everybody that lost their lives.
Because this team in Humboldt was a huge part of the community, correct?
Yeah, it's a small community. One of my...
Oh, we just lost him.
Yeah. Hung up on me.
We just lost him. This is a story that it's obviously so sad that I've tried to, like, once I found out all the details, it's tough to read any more about it. But there was a story yesterday that stood out, and that is that it's kind of a good news, awful news thing, is that a coroner in Canada misidentified two of the victims, and one of the people that they thought was alive was actually dead, and one of the people that they thought was dead was actually alive. And they're saying it was tough to really see who was who because they had all dyed their hair blonde for the playoffs and many of them have the same build. So this is something that unfortunately it's such a bad story, but to one parent, I guess that is great news. And to another one, it's the worst. And then there was one family who lost three sons. I mean, it's devastating. And I do know the NHL does plan on throughout the playoffs, doing things to raise money. And once again, if you weren't able to write down all the stuff that the Bruins are going to be doing, it's good that they're stepping up and they're raising money for the community and for their families. You can go to our Twitter account at Toucher and Rich. I've retweeted all of the ways that you can get involved via the Bruins.
Yes. Bob Sweeney is back on the phone. Hello, Bob.
I'm back, yeah. Right.
You're back. Okay, so the Bruins are getting involved in this. Can you talk a little bit about how this all works and how you guys are getting involved?
Well, it's a new initiative we started about 3 weeks ago with the online sales for the 50-50, and we've seen a nice jump in the numbers there. And this will be the same thing for Thursday night. As of yesterday, it was open to purchase raffle tickets for Thursday night's game. And we're looking forward to a big pot. The winner will walk away with a minimum of $25,000. And then on Saturday for game two, we have a full suite that we're raffling off online through our raffle website, BruinsRaffles.org. So we have a couple of great initiatives. All the information is on our website, BostonBruins.com/Humboldt. So two great initiatives, and hopefully the community will come together to support all these families.
And Bob, where is the money going that you guys are going to raise for this cause?
Well, it will go, the NHL has a few different things they're working on now, and we're trying to see the best. We'll go to the whole community. There's lots of different initiatives that they're going to have moving forward here, so the NHL will take the lead on where all the money will go.
And I know that you guys at the Boston Bruins Foundation, you have pledged to donate a minimum of $50,000 to the Humboldt community, and all of this helps as well. But it's awesome that you guys are stepping up, and it sounds like it's something that the NHL is doing as a whole as well.
Yeah, it started off, I think, on Saturday night with Winnipeg, and the Blackhawks and the Jets wore the Broncos on the back of the sweaters, and yeah, all the teams, like I said, the hockey world's a small world, and everybody bonds together, and this situation is no different.
All right, well, Bob Sweeney, you do great work as the executive director of the Bruins Foundation. We can see that here in the city and now all across North America. Great stuff here with what you guys are doing, and we appreciate you joining us.
All right. Thanks, guys, and appreciate your support.
All right, thanks, Bob.
Thank you. There you go, Bob Sweeney.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of people have been looking for ways to help out these people. What a great way to do it. So if you're looking for an easy way, and it's going to obviously go to the right place, go to our account at Toucher and Rich, or the Boston Bruins website has all the information you need as well, and you can get in on this raffle or the 50-50 jackpot at game one. But a lot of money being raised for these people. Obviously, they need it.
All right. So not easy to segue from that, but then here we go. Segue.
Should we just have like a sounder or something? And just like,
no, it's fine. Okay, that's how you help out. Okay. All right, and now here we go.
Okay.
To other things.
All right. Well, let's get to reporters punching each other, shall we?
Yes.
Or maybe something a little less. A little less serious. So there was a reporter in Milwaukee. His name is A.J. Badipour. He was arrested on battery charges after police said that he punched a reporter from a rival network at Friday's Brewers game. Now, he was taken into custody on Saturday and has since been released on bail. So he works for a Fox affiliate, this guy Badipour. And the man he allegedly assaulted, whose name is Ben Jordan, works for an NBC affiliate in town.
Now, it's an anchorman situation.
But it's different, though, because neither was attending the game for work. They're both there just as spectators to watch some baseball, and I guess Badipour had been ridiculing one of this guy's co-workers who is dating the guy Jordan, so Jordan steps in. Badipour is said to have punched him and caused a significant injury. A spokesperson for the Tribune Broadcasting, Badipour's employer, said that the company was aware of the altercation and they're investigating. They said, quote, just a typical Chicago Cubs busy night. All right, congratulations. So you have two different anchors getting in a fight. If you had any of the anchors in town in a no-holds-barred match, I'm probably taking Joe Amorcino. He's, you know, the man has got tats
all over.
He's got a
sleeve?
He's got a sleeve. He's got a little bit of attitude. Although, have you seen David Wade? Like, the dude's got guns now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's all little.
No, David Wade is jacked
now. Yeah, but
now.
He's little, though.
I don't think he's that little.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
We've had him in studio before. He's not a very large
Well,
man.
His arms are enormous. So
I didn't notice that because he had the blazer on.
It's just recently, and I think it was like Gresh who like retweeted a photo. It was like,
oh,
holy
really?
Crap,
okay.
Look at those arms. I was like, yeah, but David Wade's been working out.
Look at Gresh.
Huh?
Noticing the David Wade's arms.
I mean,
taking the time to take a picture of the TV and then.
No, it was a retweet of one of David Wade's tweets, and the guy's got guns now.
Fair enough, but I mean, you know, you got to show the people. What are you doing on Twitter tonight? I don't know. Local anchors arms.
Checking out guns.
Yeah. Mm. Let's just go straight to the local anchor's guns.
And then Steve Cooper's kind of sneaky strong, although Levin Reed would just come in and just with brute strength knock him out.
Yeah.
How is Steve Cooper sneaky strong?
Not Steve Cooper. What's his name?
Because he stands in the snow?
No. from WBZ, not Steve Cooper.
Roach?
No. Burton? Steve Burton.
Yeah.
Steve Burton sneaky strong.
Well, he's an athlete.
Former athlete, yes.
Yeah.
But Levin Reed would just knock him out with one punch.
Yeah. Lev's large. Lev's a big guy.
Yep.
He'd take him down.
In a good way.
Not sure.
I don't want Lev upset at me now.
Well, there could be a situation where you get in a fight like that.
I think BZ might be Kings of the Ring. I think if you put their crew against any of the other ones, I think BZ's the Kings of the Ring.
Right.
I haven't watched a local television broadcast that was not during a blizzard in forever.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I haven't watched local news. It's on in the background.
Mm-hmm.
In here,
mm-hmm.
But now this TV's not working, so I can't see anything on
there
TV.
You go. Yeah,
but I haven't seen I've seen the people on in the morning, but if you're in the afternoon or in the evening, I have not seen you unless there's a blizzard.
Is VB still working?
Who's VB?
VB was the guy that used to be at Fox 25.
He was on morning news, Fox 25.
I don't think he's doing it for that.
He did traffic for a while, and then he was just like a bon vivant around town, too.
Okay. Yeah. So
there's a guy that hangs out at this bar by my house and does karaoke that used to be on the news, and now he's got, like, super long hair and just rocks out.
Oh, really?
Who is it?
He, like, left his job just to, like, rock.
Well, now I'm curious. Who's that?
I'll never know. It was before, I think he's been gone for a while, but he was
I'd be genuinely curious to find out who that is.
Like, there's a karaoke night once a week at this bar, and he just, like, he comes in and he's got, like, real long hair.
Oh, he doesn't run it. He just shows up.
No. He just shows up. And apparently he goes, like, to karaoke bar to karaoke bar
now you
and
see,
just rocks.
Now you have to find out who that is for me.
Someone's going
to
know.
The next time you say, karaoke
tell
bar,
Arlick about
please tell me who this is because I really need to know.
Yeah.
Tweet me. Do so. I need to find out who this is.
He either quit or lost his job, and I think it was quit.
How long ago? Do you know?
I'm going to say, like, 10 years ago.
Okay. Now that's in my wheelhouse now. I should know this if you bring the name up.
Yeah. All right. But it's pretty funny.
Just Newton, though? I mean, you think this is where he hangs out?
No, I think he hits up, like, karaoke bars all over.
Really?
And he's odd-looking enough that when he comes in that you go,
does
like,
he have, like, big, big frizzy hair?
Because it's super long.
David Wade just tweeted Fred and said, I hear you, Fred. Catch me outside. How about that? The guns are coming for you now, Fred. David Guns Wade is going to take you down.
What is he going to pretend he's not little?
I never thought that way.
I don't think about it, but every time I've seen him, he's not like a big guy.
All I know is the BZ crew are going to be Kings of the Ring because you got David Wade who's got massive guns. You've got Steve Burton who's obviously an athlete. Levin Reed, which is brute strength. Dan Roach would just kind of, distract you. He'll just like do a dance and distract you, and then that's when Levin comes in and smacks you down. Because who are they going to compete with? If you threw in, like, let's say NBC Sports Boston, what's Tommy Curran going to do anything? Hell no. Levin Reed would pick up DJ B and eat him, and then Steve Burton would pound Phil Perry into the ground like a nail. And then you've got David Wade, who would probably end up going in there, and I don't know, who, Gary Tanguay, who just like, well, Gary Tanguay would
Gary
just
Gary Tanguay
run.
Is a wild card.
Gary Tanguay tried to give David Wade a script. And then
or
David
bite
Wade would
his
take
nose
him,
off.
He would beat him with his own script.
No, Tanguay might go just throw a fit.
Tanguay has gas power. Tanguay come out there and just fog him all with his farts.
He'd just bite your nose off.
Okay.
He'd be like an uncaged animal.
People say Mark Rosenthal is the weather guy you're talking about.
Greg Rosenthal.
Greg Rosenthal?
Yeah, I thought it was
a bunch
him.
Of people are
yes,
saying
it's Greg
Rosenthal.
That makes sense. Okay. He's a weather guy. He was a former weather guy.
I don't know
Channel
that.
Channel 5. I know who that is.
I don't know if that's who it is, but they're...
I'll show you a picture during the break.
Okay, because they're I knew people would know, because he's like a man about town.
Yeah, BZ's Kings of the Ring. No one can beat them.
I couldn't tell you.
Mark Rosenthal.
Jeez. Mark Rosenthal used to be a sale guy.
Yeah.
Sales guy.
All right, well, I got to look him up now. I
have his picture over here. I'll show you guys during the break. Right. I have it here.
We'll find out everything that Zoe and Bertrand have coming up, and then we will bid you adieu. And then you can go out.
And then David Wade will be waiting for you in the parking lot. He's ready to hammer you down.
I don't doubt he could beat me up, but if we're going to pretend he's tall.
Is he?
I don't know. I've never noticed.
Well, but you notice his arms?
Yes. Well, that's because Gresh pointed him out. Well, and I was like, wow, he's right. Dude's got guns.
All right. Well, I think someone's height when you meet them is a little bit more.
And once again, evident. I've met him all the time. I've never noticed that.
I don't. He's not particularly short. He's just not a big guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
he's
that's
not
different.
Burt Weiss.
That's different.
Where you see him and you go, holy cow, you are right on the edge of being a little person.
Well, yeah, I mean, Burt Weiss was...
The best is Burt Weiss lost, he's this radio personality in Atlanta, and he, quote unquote, lost a bet, so he had to take pictures of himself shirtless, and he spent like a month on this incredibly strict diet and exercise regimen. And then he took pictures. He's like, I'm so embarrassed.
And it's like him with like a surfboard.
No, and he's like jacked. Like he made totally himself jacked. Right. But he's one of those, like, he's like 5'1". So he's one of those guys that gets like big in 10 seconds because his arms are so short that he can lift like 1,000,000 pounds. You know, like he's like, you
is
know.
Is that how it works? If you're really
no,
short,
you know how like when people are super fat and then they like start trying to lose weight and they drop like 50 pounds immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got like little arms, so you can get jacked. Your muscles compress. You can put up more weight because you got nowhere to go with it.
Someone said, is Scott Zolak on the WBZ sports crew? Oh, well, if he is, it just makes him still even more so king of the ring. Zolak will toss somebody around.
Well, we'll find out if he is in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. What happened? I saw you running out of the room.
I have a quick present for you. So earlier in the show, we were discussing Ray Lewis's nonsensical preaching to Odell Beckham Jr., and I don't even know what he was trying to say other than you had to speak to your elders. And just a couple minutes ago, Odell Beckham Jr. posted a video responding to Ray Lewis. And from I've not heard it yet, but I've just like read like it's basically saying, old man, shut the hell up.
They've never talked.
You're probably right. Yeah. Because that was his whole thing, is that I raised my hand.
My hand at the mall.
Right, so it does sound like Ray
Lewis. Said, who wants a t-shirt? I raise my hand.
I guess anybody who's ever had a problem with the NFL, if you ask Ray Lewis has reached out to them. And then when they obviously don't heed his advice or don't, you know, want to talk to a maniac, they've lost God in their lives.
I'm not positive that he's ever talked to Odell Beckham.
Well, I'd like to see what Odell Beckham Jr. says.
Certainly over the phone. Scott Zolak, hello.
Hi, what's happening?
How you guys doing?
Great.
Okay.
Are you part of the BZ? You're part of the BZ broadcast crew.
Like after
Patriots post game,
yeah,
right?
Pre and post. Well,
okay.
Yeah.
So you
all access? I got a lot of stuff going
sure.
on.
Sure. So in a battle of the news anchors, if it was to be a battle royale, WBZ once again, they would have won without Scott Zolak, but with Scott Zolak, they're just murdering.
We're
everyone.
Badass. I mean, seriously. I mean, you look around. I mean,
you, Burton, Levin, Reed.
Not to be offended. Not to be offensive, but like some of these stations got the agent anchors and that. But I mean, we got E Fish, one of the hippest, good-looking weather guys. Not only locally, I'm talking national. This guy's going to be on Weather Channel one day.
That's the goal.
Burton plays basketball. He hangs out at Flutie's house every day.
Burton is an athlete.
He's trying to get a fist pump.
Yes.
His brothers are all athletes. They're reporters.
Levin Reed.
Yep. I just get David Robichaud out there and say, hey, let's grow them bad boys together. Little wall of chemo moment. You know? Yeah. We got distractions. I choke them all out. I beat the Levanchi. I mean, sure. Ambrosino's like scrappy, like little good. Like he's got that little man Sosi Reese anger. Oh, I got Mike Reese too.
Giardi too.
So I'd have Reese chew on your ankles.
You see, Ambrosino's the guy that in the movie that everyone circles him, and he does well for about like 2 minutes, just taking out like six guys, and then he ends up getting taken over because he can't do it on his own against the BZ crew. They can't do it.
All the Burtons, me, Fourier, Reese,
and David. Guns Wade with his new.
Forgot about David Wade. Yeah, another angry little guy.
Yeah, so good.
I've never thought of him that way.
Angry little dude's got a switch in him.
Because he's not tall, Rich.
See, I've never.
I don't know.
He's not a large man.
You're so perplexed by it.
Honest to God, when he was here in the studio.
You know what I'm talking about. They
sat up. He was higher than me because the table was jacked up.
They got Giardi.
I told you about Giardi.
Giardi get Walt.
No, No, Giardi will get walled.
No, he's scrappy.
By the BC crew.
He is. He's scrappy.
But the whole okay, Giardi versus Levin Reed, who wins?
No, oh Levin my Reed God, destroys him.
Look, Levin Reed.
He said Levin Reed. No, it would be Giardi versus Wade.
I got Levin. Levin's got bad breath. Featherweight so he match. Could just breathe on him and like just knock him over.
I got Wade. Wade versus Giardi.
Is the Fijian strap involved?
That's a featherweight match.
Okay.
Here's the one outlier. Do you consider the NBC Sports Boston thing a local news entity?
No.
NBC Sports has Scal. They got Scal. They got Heinsohn. So you got to look.
Tommy's got a bad back.
Okay.
Are we going to pretend that Heinsohn's in any condition to do anything?
Here's the outlier. Kern is nuts.
That's true.
Like, that's crazy. I've seen that.
Yes.
We used to do Patriots pregame with him back when it was on BCN way back when, and he would show up, and he used to have his hand wrapped up in like ice and in a bandage. And like, whoa, did you get a wreck? Goes, nah, adult men's basketball game last night, punched the wall.
Yeah, no, he's
broke his hand.
I have not had a ton of interactions with him, but when I have, he's very bizarre.
Every team has to have a little bit of crazy. And so you're saying Curran's the crazy.
If kickoffs are allowed in our little game we're playing, Curran's going down under the kick. He's the wedge breaker.
Or Curran just might get pissed and put himself through a wall.
Well, he might.
And I can't think of like Fox's team. I don't even know. Is Amorcino Fox or is he?
No, it's Channel 7.
Vanity, that's right? What I thought.
Seven is a television station without a country at
Fox,
the moment. Seven.
Fox, they Butch, got a.
Butch Stearns?
Is
he on Fox? That's all.
He is on Fox.
Okay.
Butch is old now.
Yeah. Who we got over at Nesson? Who's the Nesson crew? You got the guy who flirted with that girl.
They're all 23.
All of them. Dale Arnold will beat your ass.
Dale Arnold. Now, Jaffe would beat Dredd, but Dale Arnold.
Dale Arnold is a featherweight match. If you or just by height, maybe not featherweight.
Well, they got Espen Lotzka. He's there.
What?
Who's the one? The guy's name.
What?
One of the anchors.
I don't know.
Who are you talking about?
Someone lot. I don't know. It's exactly.
Lotka Gravis?
No. Lachman thank you very much.
NPR?
Never mind. You guys don't.
So wait. So Reese is the shortest out of everyone, right?
Reese and Sosie.
Reese is shorter than Sosie.
Reese and Sosie, like next year for Halloween, like I want to do the William Hogan at Chocolate Factory and paint them orange. And then, I've got the golden ticket.
The Oompa Loompas, I get it. Yeah.
I love those guys. Those are two of my favorite in the business, and they take it well.
That's one of my favorite. They take what I give them.
Right. The one likes they don't put up much of a fight.
Best crossover 10 years.
Something here in prison. I like these guys.
They've got special something on their bunk before they go to bed.
Sure.
Yeah.
A favorite one. We were at St. Elmo's for one of those for Super Bowl back in.
Yeah, we've been there.
We were there the night after you guys.
And they do that globe thing. This is back when Shaughnessy was there. Dan's over in the corner. Dan will be in from 11 to 1 today. By the way, Shaughnessy, Jackie McMullen. I think Joe Sullivan's there, all of them, and Reese was there because he used to write for the Globe and it, so we're all doing a little dinner together. So I sent over the kids chicken fingers, French fries, and I had the waitress bring over a high chair. I swear to God.
And?
Oh, we were just humming at the other table. We had I'm like, watch this. I'm like, ma'am, come here, please. $20. Take this high chair over there and send him chicken finger French fries home for the little guy.
It's like one of those cups with a lid. It comes with a lid with a dinosaur.
That's awesome.
Didn't you do it to Sosie like your first game traveling together? The flight attendant on the Patriots plane. You asked her to bring Sosie a peanut butter and jelly and a juice box.
Yeah. Yes. She came over and I said, "I have the Fresca, my little friend here. I have a juice box. And do you have one of those boxes you can bring over so his feet don't dangle?" It's gonna be a good show today. Beatles out. Hardy's driving a bus, and some guy Christian Arcane.
He's doing updates. There's a chance to meet someone new, Fred.
You know what?
Right over there, Christian Arcane.
And at 10:50, we meet Christian Arcane. Introduce him to
you. Get the quiz. Oh, good luck to you there.
Guy who turned your computer off.
I wanted to be elite.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Whoa.
There's your chance. There's your guy right there.
Who wants that? What was that?
I have no idea.
Walt, why are you playing audio while I was trying to sound?
I'm not doing anything like that.
As a manager.
What is that?
Is that me?
Yeah, that is you.
Oh, great. That was
Fred.
Okay.
I'm not touching anything.
All right, good.
All right. Well, enjoy the show, fellas. That'll do it for us. Have a good day. Bye.